Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line. Amamar, we had learned in our previous Shi'ur. Halakeach Sada B'Shem Chaveri. If somebody bought a property on somebody else's name, Ein Kaifin as Hamoicher, we cannot demand of the person who sold the property, Ein Kaifin as Hamoicher Limkar Zimna Achrite, that to write it over onto his name. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. Of course, why would we think that we can make such a demand? Answers the Gemara, maybe the Matzah Amalei, the person who purchased this property, could always say, may the Yadat, you, the person who sold me the property, was certainly aware that Noil and Nafshoi Shakilna, you know I bought this property for myself. And the reason I wrote it over on the Resh Galusa's name was Pancha Ba'almya Hud Kabina. All I did it for was to strengthen my position. Another pshat was to watch my position. Another pshat is that it should just be a cover up, that I should be able to be comfortably set on this property. Pancha Ba'almya Hud Kabina, the Zuzu B'chdila Shadina. And you could be sure that I didn't just spend money to buy a property that wouldn't be mine. Ella, and certainly you should have known that the kosel ishtar achrina, that when I bought it, the intention was that it would be written first on that person's name, on the Resh Galusa's name, and then it will be rewritten on my name. Kamash Malon teaches us the Braisa, the Amalei, that the seller could always say, "Inyani avdalach b'hadei ahud zomz l'bishmei." I made a condition that this will be written on the name of Resh Galusa, and now if you want this rewritten, so you should go to the Resh Galusa. He says, "V'yichtavlach." And now, if you want it rewritten, you should go to the Resh Galusa. V'yichtavlach shtar chuna, and he could write for you another shtar. And I saw a number of pshatim in the Rishonim. Why? One is because the seller could always say, I'm not satisfied that there should be so many documents written that I sold property. And we've said the svara previously in our shiurim, because when there are many documents that somebody sold the property, it sort of lets out a reputation that this person is desperate for money. And because there's a reputation that he has to be concerned about, he says, I'm not prepared to do so. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that he could always say, you use Resh Galusa's name. Now you want that this document should be written on your name. So that's an issue between you and Resh Galusa. When he could say, I sort of arrive at explains, that you obviously, the seller could say, it was my assumption that you have a relationship with Resh Galusa. And that's why the Resh Galusa is allowing you to use his name when you write this document. Since I was convinced that you have this relationship with the Resh Galusa, that's all that I know. And now you want that document rewritten on your name, deal with the Resh Galusa. However, we learned in the Braisa, Vim Amaluhu. However, if the seller said to the buyer, Amanas, it was clearly stipulated that this is what's going to happen. First, we're going to write it on the Resh Galusa's name, and then we're going to rewrite it on my name. Then the Braisa taught us that the halacha is, Kaifin es hamoicher limkor, we force him to write another shtar. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, obviously that is the halacha. That was what was agreed upon up front. Says the Gemara, Lechicha, the Braisa is speaking in a case that they made the stipulation, that they made the stipulation, not that they made the stipulation. All he said was the Omle L'Sadika made the day that the buyer said to the Edim in the presence of the seller, Chazu D'Shtara Achrina Kabina. I want you to know that I'm going to need another document. So we might have assumed the Matzi Omle, that the seller could tell the buyer, Amina, what I meant was I understood that you're going to want another shtar. But my assumption was that that was going to be kamina shtar mehech the koshak l'mishmei the kamrit, that you were going to get that other shtar written by the Resh Galusa. Kamash Malon teaches us the Braisa, that since Amalei, since he explicitly said in the presence of the seller, Lahochi Tarchiv Amalel Edom Kamach, since I went out of the way to tell the Edom in your presence, you can't say that you assumed what I meant was that's going to be the obligation of the Resh Galusa to write it. The fact that I went out of the way to say in front of Edom in your presence, what I meant was the Menach Chudu Kabina, it's from you that I'm going to want another shtar. Says the Gemara, Rav Kahana Yov Zizah Kitna. Rav Kahana bought linen and he paid the money to the, and he paid for it, but he left the linen still with the seller of the linen. And now says the Gemara, L'soifah Yaki Itna, and then the price of linen went up. Sovne Marsa the Kitna. The seller sold that linen which belonged to Rav Kahana at the more expensive price. And his intention, Rashi explains, was honorable. He intended to do Rav Kahana a favor, that he's going to give that profit, that whole money to Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana was the owner of this linen. Says the Gemara, Asl Kamei de Rav. So Rav Kahana came to Rav, Amalei Mai Eved. Exactly what should I do? Izel Ishka Zuzuze, if I should take the money that it was sold for, people are going to say that it looks like it's ribbis, that I gave the seller a certain amount of money. He held on to my money, and now he's giving me more money than I originally gave him. And people are going to assume that this is a situation of ribbis, albeit ribbis derabbanan, because ribbis deraisa is only when you borrow money and it's stipulated that you're going to pay with interest. That clearly wasn't the case here, but it's at least ribbis derabbanan. Izel eshka zuzei amle ki kozevna amri kitta dekanam. So Rav Kahana said, when he sold it, he told the buyers, when he sold the linen to the buyers, said to the buyer that the linen I'm selling is linen that belongs to Rav Kahana, Zilshkol, then you're allowed to take the money. Viloy, but if they weren't aware that this linen belonged to you, Rav Kahana, they assumed that it belonged to the seller, Loy Tishkol, because it looks like ribbis, it looks like interest, by you getting back more money than you gave. Says the Gemara, come on. Says the Gemara, who did Rav follow when he gave this psak? Says the Gemara, come name Rava. He's following what we learned in our previous year. Damri, they said in the B'nai Merava said in our previous year, Mi haydeel abal chitin shik de chitin abal maz. Because when somebody buys something, they don't know, they just know, I'm buying it from whoever I'm buying it. And if they're buying it from this seller, they're not aware that it belongs to Rav Kahana. Otu miyav Rav Kahana abu v'shakli tamni. But says the Gemara, but why? Rav Kahana didn't make a stipulation that he's going to give a certain amount of money and he's going to get more. He bought the linen fair and square. The kitna mamelu diyake, and he just got fortunate that the price of linen went up. Says the Gemara, Migzagazlua, says the Gemara, the people who sold it stole it from Kahana, the Tanan, Kola Gazlona, Mishalam Kazasa Gzela. Says the Gemara that they have to pay what it was worth when he paid for it. So says the Gemara, what the B'nai Merava said, that the buyer doesn't know who the seller doesn't know who the buyer is, here, it doesn't make a difference. Even if the seller did not disclose that Rav Kahana was the owner of this linen, and therefore you call him a gazlin, but he has to pay it. He has to pay Rav Kahana as the value of the time of the gzela. Amri, says the Gemara, Hasam Amonahava. Rav Kahana never really took ownership of the linen. We know that throughout Shas, to be considered the owner of an item, you have to have a kinyan. And until you make a kinyan, it's not really yours. What happened over here was, Rav Kahana gave this person who had the linen money, and he trusted him that when he needs to take delivery, he'll take delivery. Rav Otameh, and Rav that says Rav Kahana is not entitled to that profit, is following his own opinion that he stated in the Masechta Bava Metziah, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Oysa Manam Epeiris. A person can make a contract on fruit. That means a person at the beginning of the season, when the price of fruit is not that high yet, he can make a contract on the fruit and it becomes his fruit, then even though he didn't take the actual fruit. However, that's only if he ultimately takes the fruit. But if he doesn't ultimately take the fruit, as long, important to point out, that this deal is going to be acceptable in halacha, it's only if the price of the fruit for the season has been determined. So if he ultimately takes the fruit, even though the price of the fruit goes up, it doesn't make a difference. And the reason it doesn't make a difference, because the price of the fruit was already established when he paid for the fruit. And since the price of the fruit was established when he paid for the fruit, and had he wanted to take that fruit at that time, he could have. That is enough that he's considered the owner of the fruit, and therefore he could take the fruit later, even though the price of the fruit went up and he paid less. But if he made the deal only with money, meaning he gave the seller, our Gemara, the price of linen, and then the price of linen goes up and the seller sold the linen and wants to give him the money. So now, when he's taking more money than he originally gave, it's mechzi karibis. That looks like he got more, looks like he gave a certain amount, and he got more. And since in such a case, therefore, since it looks like ribis, the halacha is that, of course, midrabbanan, Chazal said we won't accept that. Our Mishnah begins on, we know that the halacha is that if you steal something, you have to pay back. The Torah speaks about a case where somebody owes somebody else money, and the person whom he owes money to comes to claim his money, and he swears falsely that I don't owe the money, and then he admits that what he did was a lie. So the Torah says is that he has to pay back a keren and the chaymish, an extra fifth, and bring a carbon asham gzeilus. As the pasuk says, I mikol asher yishav alav l'sheker v'shil ma'aser b'roishoy v'chamishaser yosef alav v'sashama yovel Hashem el tamim menatzayim. So now the halacha is, the Mishnah focuses that, as I said a moment ago, there's a fundamental halacha of a heshev as a gzeila shegozel, that if somebody steals something, he has to return what he stole. There's a difference if it was just that he stole and he has to return it, or if what just was described happened, where he made that false shvua and then admitted that he lied. Then the halacha is, in the first case, he just has to be ready to give it back. But he doesn't have to look for the person from whom he stole it. He doesn't have to travel to give it back. But in the second case, as we're going to learn, since the Torah says, La shehu lo yitnenu la b'yom ha'shmasai, the halacha is he has to travel as much as necessary to give back this stolen object. And furthermore, the halacha is that he can't bring, we just spoke about the carbon ashram, that he may not bring the carbon ashram until he actually does so. So says the Mishnah, Hagazas chaveroi shava pruta. If somebody stole from someone else money, anything that's worth a pruta, v'nishbaloi, and then he swore falsely that he did not do so, and then he admits that what he did was gezeila and a lie, The halacha is Yalichenu Achra Lamadai. He has to go all the way to Madai to return what he stole. The Mechas Chinuch has a very fundamental discussion. The Mishnah speaks about that what he stole is a Shava Pruta. So the question that the Mechas Chinuch discusses is that how do we understand this? Do we understand that the shear of Gezela, it's only considered an act of Gezela if what you stole is worth a Pruta? Or do we say that Gezela is even when it's worth less than a Pruta? But Chazal established that when it's less than a Pruta, the person from whom you stole is certainly Meichel if it's less than a Pruta. So the Mechas Chinuch brings a raya that the second approach is the proper way to approach this Gemara. Because we know, the Gemara says that in Masechta Sanhedrin, that by Ben Noach, there's Gzeil even with Prox Meshava Pruta. Whereas by Yisrael, it's only Shava Pruta. And the explanation is that Jews typically forgive the Gzeil when it's less than a Shava Pruta, because as Rashi explains, this is all in the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Amun Aleph. When a Jew's perspective, a Yisrael's perspective, is that less than a Pruta is now worth to deal with. Because Klal Yisrael are Rachmanim B'nei Rachmanim, and if it's such a small amount, they're Moichel. But by Nei Noach, don't have that personality. And since the B'nei Noach don't have that personality, even by Pachs Meshava Pruta, they're not ready to be Meichel. The Rambam seems to take a different approach. Because the Rambam says that whenever we look at Shiurim, the Rambam's approach is, this is the Rambam Hilchos Geneva Periktes Halachates, and Hilchos Melachim Periktes Halachates, that the Torah is full of Shiurim. There's always a Shiur. Says the Rambam, but these halachas, when we speak about Shiurim, were only said by Bnei Yisrael. So by Klai Yisrael, there's a din of a Shava Pruta, there's a Shiv of Pruta. Bnei Noach don't have a halacha of Shiurim. And since Bnei Noach don't have a halacha of Shiurim, there's no concept of a Pruta or less than a Pruta. So what will be the Nafkamina? Mechas Chinuch brings a number of Nafkaminas between these two approaches. What will be if somebody stole less than a Pruta from a Jewish Cheresh Shoyt of a cotton? If we say that it's a din in shear, so it doesn't make a difference from whom you stole. If you stole from a Jew less than a Pruta, it's not considered an act of Gzela. But if it's dependent on Mechila, a Cheresh Shoyt of a cotton are not able to be Meichel. Another Nafkamina, he says, is what happens if you stole from a Jew less than a Pruta, and the Jew explicitly says, I'm not Meichel. So if it's a din and shear, it doesn't make a difference what the Jew is saying. If, however, if it's a din in Mechila, here Nigzal is clearly saying, I'm not Meichel. Another example, another Nafkamina says the Mechas Chinuch, if the Nigzal, if the victim, doesn't even know you stole from him. So if it's a din and shear, it doesn't make a difference if he knows or doesn't know. If it depends on Mechila, you could only have Mechila if the victim knows that it was stolen from him, and he's Meichel. Another Nafkamina would be that when you stole it, it was worth less than a Pruta, but then it went up in price, and now it's worth a Pruta. So if it's a din in Shiurim, so at the time of the Gzela, there was no act of Gzela, because it was less than a Pruta. If it depends on Mechila, and we're saying that there's an assumption, as Rashi explained in Masechta Sanhedrin, that when it's worth less than a Pruta, the Nigzal is Meichel. Here, but it has to be less than a Pruta when the Nigzal is Meichel. Here, it's not less than a Pruta. Another Nafkamina, if you stole a Chatzi Pruta, and then you stole another Pruta, Chatzi Pruta. So if it's a din and a shear, so the two half Prutas are Mitztarif. If it's a din and Mechila, for every less than a Pruta, the Nigzal is Meichel. But Rashi and Rashba both point out that even though whichever approach we take in learning this Gemara, that the halacha is only, as the Mishnah says explicitly, that it's only by a pruta, still, the halacha is that one may not steal less than a sheva pruta. And moreover, they say, we're not allowed to cause pain to someone. And when you steal from somebody, you're causing him pain. And the Rashba quotes the Yerushalmi. He says that if what you took is something you know that people don't care if you take, then and only then it's considered not an act of the gzela. Moreover, the Meiri says that even though we're learning that the special halakos of Yochanan Achrav Lamodai only applies by a pruta, says the Meiri, the proper thing is that since the Tariq Dosha says the Heshev is a gzela shagazal, under all circumstances, how insignificant what you stole is worth, the right thing is to always return it. The Rosh and the Tor say that our Mishnah just said that if you didn't go through this whole process of swearing falsely and then admitting, so we don't have the Loch of Yerichena Achav Lamadai, that means you don't have to go travel to bring it to the person from whom you stole it. But they both are of the opinion that you certainly have to notify him that I have your object that I stole. The Rambam says that if the owners were not mat miyash, it seems from the Rambam that you have to go and try to return it. And that is another question. How much do you have to spend to go? If the person you stole from is on the other side of the world, so it may be more than a chaimish. And we know that whenever it comes to paying to do a mitzvah, you need not spend more than a chaimish. So the Mechitz Chinuch asks, do you have to spend here more than a chaimish to fulfill this mitzvah? So he says that the mitzvah of a heshev as gzela in this situation is of such a, that's part of the mitzvah heshev as gzela, that you have to return it personally to the person who you stole it from. And that's the mitzvah. And if you don't do it, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So there's no, even if it costs you more, that even if it costs you more than a chaimish. And I also saw that even though Chazal were frowned upon a person leaving at this role, only when there was a real tzorich mitzvah, I saw that the Paiskim, the Shoshana Modavid, says that here somebody's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz. He says a Pashut Svara. He says he's no different than somebody that the halacha is, if somebody's doing business, he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael in order that he to do business. The halacha, this is, if you're allowed to travel out of Eretz Yisrael to do business, you're certainly allowed to do it for this person. The Aruch HaShulchan, however, makes a very interesting point. He says, our Mishnah is teaching us that there's a difference when you, if you went through swearing falsely, the data halacha is you have to go return it to the nigzel no matter where he is, not if you didn't swear falsely. But, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that halacha is only if the person from whom you stole the object is no longer where he was when you stole it. So if you stole it, let's say, in New York from the Snigzal, and you're now ready to return it without the false shvua, so if the Nigzal is in New York, says the Aruch HaShulchan, the halacha requires you to go look for the Nigzal wherever he is in New York. But if the Nigzal had moved far away, and you didn't go through this process of swearing falsely, then there's no halacha that you have to go to him. But as we said, you do have to notify him. So the Gra was asked, why when the Mishnah speaks about traveling after the Nigzal, does the Mishnah use the words Yalichenu Achrav L'Modai? Why would we specifically speak about Modai? So he says that we know that the Gemara often discussed when we learned Masechta Kedushin, that the halacha is that to make a kedushin, you have to use at least a pruta. And the Gemara spoke about the concept shemesh shava pruta b'modai. So said the Gra. So we see that modai was a place that things were very inexpensive. So therefore, even though here it may not be worth a pruta where you stole it, but in modai it may be worth a pruta, and that's why it says afilu l'modai, where here, where you stole it, it may not be worth a pruta. And therefore, here, where you stole it, since it's not worth a pruta, you're not going to be chayiv. But since it's now the owner is a modai, and modai things are very inexpensive, the halacha requires you to go all the way to modai to return it. Says the Mishnah, lo yitein. Now, when we continue discussing the obligation to return it from whom you stole it, you can't give it to the son of the nigzal, neither to the shliach of the nigzal, aval shliach bezdin. However, says the Mishnah, that you can give it to the shliach bezdin, the mace, and if the nigzal is no longer alive, yachsel yarshav, the halacha is you should give it to his yarshim. The halacha is that says not only in a case where you swore falsely, that whole procedure that we've mentioned is the halacha that you have to give it to the person who you stole it from. He says even when you didn't do that and you want to just fulfill the obligation of a heshiv as a gzela, the halacha is that says the sma, you have to give it to the person from whom you stole it, no one else. We'll speak about this much more in the Gemara. Moreover, Rashi explains why, if the halacha is you have to give it specifically to the person whom you stole it from, why does, says Rashi, can you give it to Shliach Bezdin? So he introduces the concept that we've learned so many times in this perek of Takanas HaShavim. Chazal were concerned that people should want to do tshuva. And if you're not going to be able to give it back to the person whom you stole it from, people are not going to want to do tshuva, so they instituted that you should be able to give it to the shliach bezdin, and that will be adequate. And as I saw the Rishonim say, once you give it to the shliach bezdin, you're able to bring the carbon. I also saw that once you give it to the bezdin, there's two questions. What does it mean giving to the shliach bezdin? Does it mean just leaving it in bezdin? That's the way some Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim explain that doesn't mean that you're just depositing it in Bezdin and letting know the person from whom you stole that your item can be picked up in Bezdin. What it means is that you have a Shliach Bezdin who's personally going to travel and bring it back to the person who you stole it from. Moreover, Taisa says that if the person, the way to understand the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says if the person from whom you stole it died, you could give him to the Yarshim, says that halacha of Yalichenu Achrav Lamadai applies not just to the actual person from whom you stole it, but even to his Yarshim. And if he's no longer alive and you're returning it to the Yarshim, the halacha requires that you go travel to the Yarshim to Madai, just like you would have to travel to the Nigzel to Madai. Nosalis a Karen, continues the Mishnah. If somebody gave the Karen back to the person, to the Nigzel, however, like Nosalis a Chaimish, he didn't give him the Chaimish, or Machalai al Karen, if the person whom he stole from forgave him on the principle, however, like Machalai al Chaimish, or Machal al Zev al Zev, the Nigzel was Michael both on the Karen and the Chaimish, Chutz mi Pachas Mishava Pruta b'Karen, unless. But he kept that he still, you owe me less than a Shavapruta of the Karen, ain't Tzarech L'Achrav. Then the halach is that he doesn't have to go after this, he doesn't have to go after him, because the halach is only, this halach of Yalichena Achrav and Modai only applies on the Karen, A, and B, it only applies if there's a pruta. So if you don't have both of these conditions, the halacha of Yalichena Achrav Modai would not apply. However, if the Gazlan gave him the Chaimish, but he didn't give him the Karen, or Machalay al Chaimish, the Nigzal was Michael the Chaimish, however, Valay Machalay al Karen, or Machalay al Zeva Zeh, Chutz Mishav Pruta Karen. So now we have a Shava Pruta of Karen left here. When we have a Shava Pruta of Karen left, then the Alocha Tzarchle al Chachrov, the Alocha of Yelchenu Achrov and Madai kicks back in. Noslis a Karen, says the Mishnah. What happened here was that the Gazlan swore falsely, and then he admitted that he had done so. So he's chayv the Karen Chaimish, and he gives the Karen to the Nigzal. Nosan lay as a Karen, the Nishbalay al Chaimish, but then he again falls into this bad habit, and he swears falsely on the Chaimish. In other words, he owes the Nigzal the Chaimish, and now, instead of paying the Chaimish that he owes, he swears falsely that he doesn't. And then he admits that he swore falsely. So now he has to give back the chaimish, and he has to give a chaimish on the chaimish. Hareza mishalim, chaimish al chaimish. He has to pay a chaimish on that chaimish. And that keeps on happening, says the Gemara, at shismar the Karen, until the amount that he swears on is at shismar the Karen, unless until the part they sell swears on is a shava pruta. The same halacha, says the Mishnah, applies when somebody asks somebody, appointed a shomer, to watch something on his behalf, and then the shomer swore falsely when the person, the owner of the pikadon, comes to claim what you're watching, and he swears falsely, I don't have it. And then, as the pasuk says, "V'nefesh ki sechta omola mal b'Hashem v'kichesh b'amisa b'pikadon b'chumus yad oy begozel oy oshikas amisa amatza aveda v'kichesh b'vnish b'al sheker." The halacha is the same halacha would apply, says the Mishnah, that this individual has to pay. This person has to pay harezim sham karem v'chaimish, and he has to bring, and he also has to pay. He has to take it all the way to Madai. So the Mishnah said, Nishbalay in, that this halacha of Yalichana Akrav Lamadai, says the Mishnah, only applies when he swore falsely. Nishbalay, that's when we have this halacha of Yalichana Akrav Lamadai. But like Nishbalay, if he didn't swear falsely, then this halacha wouldn't apply. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is assuming now that the Heshiv is a Gzela. The Gemara is assuming that you have to always return what you stole. Now the Gemara asks, Mani. So who is the Tanav Mishnah is only by Nishba L'Sheker. When you had a false Shvua involved here, that's when this halacha applies. Suggests the Gemara, Lawyer of Tar from Lawyer of Akiva. It's not consistent, not with the opinion of Reb Tarfin, nor the opinion of Akiva. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Ches on the base teaches us. Gozel Echem Mechamisha. Somebody stole from one of five people. Ve'en Yedei Mezeman, but he doesn't know exactly from whom he stole. The Kalachar Omer, and each one of these five possible victims says, Oisi Gozel, that I was the victim. The Loch is Menech Gzeil Beneim. He puts down what he stole, and he walks away. Of course, the Gemara Masechta Matzias says that doesn't mean that now one of these people could take it. What it means is that it's left in Bezdin, since none of these people could definitively say that I was the person who was stolen from. So the halach is, we leave it in Bezdin, and when the person will be able to prove, the true victim will be able to prove that he's the victim, then he'll take what belongs to him. This is not the way that you save yourself from doing an aveira. You stole, you have a chiv, the heshiv is a gzela, and therefore, since you don't know from whom you stole, the halacha is, at shi yishalem, Gzeila Kalecha Ve'echad. Until you satisfy each one of these people. It's interesting to point out that the halacha actually follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. There's just a machlokes in which case did Rabbi Kiva say it is halacha. Did Rabbi Kiva say it only in a case of gzela? What about mekach? If you bought something for one of five people and you don't know from whom you stole, from whom you bought it, and all five say, you bought it from me, will Rabbi Kiva say the same psak? And I saw that the Chashuki Chemed mentions this interesting question. We know that in many places, in Eretz Yisrael and other places, they have a shuk for dal minim. That there's a place where there are many stands where dal minim are sold. And people come and they buy the dal minim at these various stands. And there was somebody that bought and went to a stand. He saw an esrog, he liked it. And it's also as common that he said, I'd like to purchase this esrog, but I want to first show it to a rav to get his opinion about the esrog. The person said, fine. He went to the rav told him, yes, this is a good, nice esrog, buy it. But now he comes back, and all these stands look the same. And he doesn't remember from whom he bought it. So now the question that we just mentioned kicks in. Here it wasn't a question of gzela. Here it's a question of mekach. And will we say that it's machlokes if Rabbi Kiva even said his opinion by mekach? Because it could be that Rabbi Kiva only said his opinion by gzela, because by gzela there's a chiyuv of a heshev as a gzela shagozel. You have an obligation to return what you stole. But that's only by gzela. That doesn't apply in other areas of halacha. This is the question that Chashuki Chemed says. And maybe this person could say that even if we paskin Rabbi Kiva, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Kiva by Mekach. But then the Chashuki Chemed says that no. Because since we know that the halacha is when it comes to the dalim minim, the Torah Kedoshah says, v'lekachtem lochem, that there's an obligation that you have to own the dalim minim that you're going to use. And even though you technically don't have to give money unless the person could prove that he's the individual that sold you that esrog, but you can't be yotze your mitzvah of lekachtem lechem when an esrog that doesn't belong to you. And if you didn't pay for it, it doesn't belong to you. And presumably, the only way you would be able to use this esrog is you would have to pay to each one of the individuals who claims that he sold you that esrog. So the Gemara is assuming that when Rabbi Kiva said, when we had this case, the machlokes Rabbi Kiva of Tarfin, of Gozel Echad Mechamisha B'nei Adam, is we're speaking about the fundamental halacha of a Heshev HaZegzela. Rabbi Tarfin says that as long as the Gazlan no longer is holding on to what he stole, he has fulfilled the obligation of a Heshev HaZegzela Asher Gozel. And therefore, Rabbi Tarfin's opinion is, just leave it where it was, and good enough. Rabbi Kiva's opinion, apparently, the Gemara is learning now, is that in order to fulfill the obligation of a Heshev HaZegzela, you have to give it back to the person from whom you stole it. And until you don't give it back to the person from whom you've stolen it, you haven't fulfilled the obligation of a Heshev HaZegzela Asher Gozel. So ask the Gemara Mani, so now let's try to understand who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Ir of Tarfin, if we're going to say that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rav Tarfin, Rav Tarfin's opinion is that Afakav Dishtabi, even though he went through this entire procedure of swearing falsely, Rav Tarfin's opinion is that in order to fulfill the obligation of Avishav as a Gzela, all you need to do is B'nei Gnezel B'nei Mestalik. And as we just explained, because Rav Tarfin's opinion is, as long as the Gzela is no longer with the Gazlan, he fulfilled his obligation. On the other hand, asked the Gemara Rabbi Kiva, Afkav de lo yishtaba, even if you didn't swear, isn't Rabbi Kiva's opinion that in order to fulfill the obligation of a Heshev as a Gzela, you only fulfill that obligation at Yishalom Gzela Kalech Vechad, until you make sure that the person from whom you stole gets it back, even though you didn't swear falsely? So the Mishnah doesn't seem to be consistent with either opinion. Answers the Gemara Loilam Rabbi Kiva Hi. The Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Chikam Rabbi Kiva Achi Shalom Zel Kalach V'Echad. We have to add the when did Rabbi Kiva say that you have to give it back to each one of the that you only fulfill the obligation of the Heshiva Zela when you give it back to every one of the people who might have stolen from? Only in the case Hechil D'Shtabu D'Kamer, when you swore falsely. Why is there a difference if you swore falsely or not? My Tama D'Amakra Lashi Yitnan L'Biyayim HaShemasai, that the Pasuk, when it speaks about the individual who swore falsely, says that you're not fulfilling the obligation until you give it back to the person you stole it from. But that's only when you swore falsely. Rav Tarfin says, Avgav Dishtaba, but Rav Tarfin's opinion is that even though you swore falsely, and the Pasuk indicates that if you swore falsely, you're not fulfilling your obligation until you give it back to the person you stole it from. However, says Rav Tarfin, Ovid Rabbana Takanta, Chazal, as we often learn in our Masechta, made a special rule that you could fulfill your obligation just by having the gzela no longer in your possession. The Tanya of Lezmer Tzadok Omer, Takana G'doy L'Eskinu, Chazal instituted a big Takana, Shem Hoysa Itzah Yitzayr Al-Karen, that if the taking this stolen object costs more than the whole object, Mishalim Karen V'Chayim Shlebezdin, leave the Karen V'Chayim Shlebezdin, or maybe Ashamai, and you can bring your carbon Asham, or Meskapaloi, and it'll be good enough. Why was it instituted? As all the Mefarshim explained, we've learned so many times, because of Takanas Hashavim. How could they make such a Takana? So I saw Rabbi Chanan, the Kibbutz Shurim, says that they have the ability to do so with their authority of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Chazanish says that the way to understand it is that Chazal said that by depositing it in Bezdin, we view it as if you gave it back to him. And since we view it as if you gave back to him, you fulfilled your obligation. Rekiva also holds that we, Chazal, are concerned about the Takanas Hashavim, but says, Ki Avad Rabbana Takanta, when did the Chazal say that it's just good enough that you should leave it deposited in Bezdin? That's only in a case of Heich Diyad L'man Gazlei, when you know from whom you stole it. The Kamahadalei M'mane L'mare, so you know that the person who you stole it from is going to get back what was stolen from him. However, in the case of Gazel Ech Mechamisha, when you stole from one of five people, and Lo Yod L'man Gazlei, you don't know from whom you stole. So in such a case, just depositing it in Bezdin is insufficient because Lo Yod L'man Gazlei, the money won't go back to its true owner. There, Lo Avad Rabbana Takanta. So we have here a machlokes, Reb Tarfin and Reb Kiva, where you don't swear falsely, where you didn't swear falsely, leaving it in Bezdin is adequate. And when you swore falsely, that's where Reb Kiva says that you have to return it to the person who you stole it from. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain the machlokes of Reb Tarfin and Reb Kiva that way? Masar v'huna bar Yehuda, Arav Shimon, when somebody bought something for one of five people, and he doesn't know who was the seller, that the halach is, all you need to do is just leave the money and embezzle it, and that's satisfactory. When you stole from one of five people, if we're talking about a case, the Rekiva is teaching us that because you swore falsely, that's why you have to make sure to give it back to whom you stole from. So what's the difference? The shtabach, if he swore falsely, mali lokach, mali gozel. Why does the halacha differentiate? Void must of Rava. And the Mara asks another question. The Braisa teaches us, Mais b'chassad echad shalokach b'shnei b'nei adam. There was a chassad that bought something, one of two people. V'lo yoyedei me'ez men lokach. He forgot from whom he bought it. A ball of neir tarfin. These two potential sellers, possible sellers, came to a tarfin. And he said, hanach d'mei mocha b'neim. Leave it here, v'stalik, and that's all you have to do. A ball of neir kiva. And then this question was brought to Rabbi Kiva. Amalai ein l'chot akonam. There's nothing I could do for you until you pay everyone whom you took it. This akadatech, if we're saying that Rabbi Kiva's psak was only said when you swore falsely, that's when he said it. The mishtaba asked the Gemara, chosin mi mishtaba mi shikra? How could a person be called a chosid if he swore falsely? Says the Gemara, maybe what happened was the mishtaba, he swore falsely, and then he did tshuva, and he became a chassid. Says the Gemara, but we know that ha kol hechad amrina ma'is b'chassid echad. Wherever in Shas the Gemara says ma'is b'chassid echad, it means oh Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba or Rabbi Yehuda ben Baloi, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba and Rabbi Yehuda ben Baloi were individuals who were chassidim the mikara hava. They were always chassidim. They weren't people that first. That were, so to speak, Bali Tshuva. So I saw a very nice fart. The Gemara says, in Masechta Nida, that a person, before he's born, they make him make a Shvua, Mashbin Oysoi, Tei Tzadik Valti Rosha. He makes a Shvua that I'm going to be a Tzadik. And that's Pshat in the Pasuk that says, Mi Yala Bahar Hashem, Who truly is such an individual? The pasuk in Tehillim, Ashlo nishba l'shav nafshi v'lo nishba l'merma. That shvua that he made when he was born, he keeps his whole life. That is the person who is the person that is the chassid, and that's the person who we refer to as an individual that was a chassid that never swore. In the first place, and swears firstly in the first place, that from when he made that shvu when he was born, he keeps that shvu for the rest of his life. And therefore, the Gemara reinterprets the machlokes of Tarfin and Kiva. Eloi lem Rav Tarfin. We're going to say that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Tarfin. And even though Rav Tarfin says, just leave what you stole and you could go away, Moedir Tarfin is going to agree the Hecha Deshtaba, that if you swore falsely, that won't be adequate. My tama, because the amakra lashuloi yitnena b'yoyim shmosai. The Torah goes out of the way that you have to give it back to the person who you stole from if you swore falsely. Rabbi Kiva says that afgav deloy mishtaba, even though you didn't swear falsely, Kanis Chazal said that you only fulfill the obligation reheshiv zegzela shegazal if you give it back to the individual from whom you stole it.